CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. We always are. We always set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective. What we hear in church on Sunday, is it even in the Bible at all? If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. Real simple, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest featured CSN speaker here morning times on the CSN radio network, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Always looking forward to the program. It's a great time of just hearing from the folks out there. They're great questions that they call in with. They want to grow in the Lord. They want to grow in their faith. They want to spread the good word of Christ's salvation to the world. And it's very exciting, and I just love it. It's good to be with you, my friend.
Always a blessing to be with you. Looking forward to answering some questions. And again, the world's a crazy place, but I'll tell you, so many things
going on. Trump's working at warp speed, is he not? It's a good stuff.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm just shocked at all the wasteful spending. And I'm more shocked about people that object to the wasteful spending. To me, this is crazyville. You know, the Democratic Party is supposed to be the party of the people. You'd think they'd want to protect people's money, but they don't. I think there's a reason why. And, you know, I have found whenever there's employees that scream about an audit, it's usually because they've been taking money they shouldn't have. That's what I found. And generally in all of business, you'll find those who object to an audit are those that have been on the take. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out in all the different departments as we go along. Again, everyone, please remember, we were going into debt about $2 trillion a year when Joe left office. Unsustainable, we were headed for complete, total bankruptcy. That means you lose everything. The government takes over everything you own. You own nothing. And have you heard that? In 3 years, you will own nothing and be happy, they were saying, during Biden's presidency. Why were they saying that? Because they were going to nationalize everything in America. Welcome to the new communist government. Well, it didn't happen the way they thought, and they are howling. And whenever you hear, oh, Trump's against democracy, Trump's against communism, and they are using the word democracy in place for what they're really meaning, communism. Trump's against communism, absolutely. He's not against democracy. And again, you know, to root out the bad guys, I know you're going to have to really turn over some rocks. And those that live in the dark don't like that. You know, I'm really amazed, Daryl, how anybody could object to wanting to know the truth. Your thoughts on that? I'm taken back by it. I would think, you know, no one elect Elon Musk. Well, of course not. He's working for Trump. Like you'd hire a private detective. That's all I'm doing. But oh no, that isn't what you would get watching the liberal news media. No, they're still as whacked out as they have always been, distorting truth. Again, anybody that objects to an audit usually is because their hand was in the till or their friends were. Your thoughts?
You know, Mike, as we look at what's taking place before our very eyes, I love the transparency that's taking place under the Trump administration. I call it a presidential reality show because every day we're hearing from him. They're very transparent. They're bringing forth all the information, all the evidence out that is out there, and all the things that are happening, and the corruption that is being that's just revealed. It would be comical if it wasn't for these Democrats who are serious about their protesting and about, you know, the conspiracy against the Constitution, destroying the Constitution, so ridiculous. And here they are finding that our money has been going to all these crazy DEI things and LGBTQ things, transgender things, and just it's just It's unbelievable. Now, the question is, how is this money? Is it funneling around through these organizations, then funneling back to people's pockets? I think Pam Bondi's got her hands going to be full, along with the new FBI director that's coming up. They're going to be very busy people finding out all this corruption and what's been going on with our money for so many years. They need to get rid of all these NGOs and move on and have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Amen.
Yeah, they think I read one story where they were going to do a sting operation for Aragua, the gang from Venezuela, and they believe now the FBI tipped off the Agua gang to get out of town. So they're going to be doing a lot of searching here, trying to find out what is going on. Because, again, our government has been out of control for many, many years. And I think now, for the first time, we're getting to begin to see how bad it really was. I mean, drag queen ice skating shows in Europe. Tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars for homosexual comic books for Peru, millions of dollars for condoms for people in the Middle. I mean, what Middle East? What's going on here? And if you say anything, you're the bad guy. Well, no, I think somebody's got their hand on the till. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see how it all shakes out. You know, Jesus said, and gave words, I believe, very clearly about the days we're in, and seeing global unrest. And we do see that. You know, as much as I think anybody, Trump, anybody else, wants to see the war in Ukraine end, for some reason it's not ending. Now, they are working on some peace talks to try to come to some common ground. But, you know, when you're bent on land grabbing, land conquest, which Russia is, I think a lot of times nothing but getting what they want will suffice. And again, remember, Margaret Thatcher is the one that said communism works till you run out of everybody else's money. Well, Russia's broke. The ruble is flat. It's not worth anything. And so they need money. They need resources. They need all kinds of advanced technology. They need warm water seaports. They need all these things. Take Ukraine. And I think they thought the Ukrainians were probably a little softer than, in fact, they really were. And so, again, we see global issues. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And I just want to encourage everyone, you really need to understand we are living in times so different than we've ever been in before. And so, you know, just let your light shine. Be about your Father's business. Again, 88-88-ASK-CSN is the number to call. And we're going to go to Paul in Sacramento, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. I really appreciate you taking my call, and wanted to express my deepest gratitude for the ministry you do and for the great news about Jesus is spread through the radio waves. God bless you, brothers. Well, I called earlier about my son Daniel, and thank you to your prayers. He's working. He's at home. However, he got into computer dependency. You know, he's in gaming after work, and so I'm just praying that the Lord will make him free. And I have another prayer request for my cousin. His name is Victor. His wife died at the age of 53 last year because of a cancer. And he had a procedure for his memory. He started losing memory. He had procedure in a hospital. And during the procedure, he got the, stroke, you know, blood clot in the brain. Yep. And so, so he's got three kids. They're grown, but still, I mean, it's a big, we grow together. And so he's 58. And my request is that if you would pray for Daniel and Victor, my cousin, that the Lord would show mercy on him and, if possible, restore him. Thank God he can walk. He slowly talks, but sometimes he talks to the people who are not present. So we're just asking that the Lord would show mercy on him.
Amen. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, brother, we got to just realize in life we go through various trials and tribulations that we go through, and all for the glory of God, of course, because God will be glorified through all things. And I pray that your cousin Victor is saved. Is he saved, my friend?
He is. He's been serving the Lord throughout his whole life. He's very faithful,
fantastic.
Brother.
Good deal. Well, we want to pray for your cousin and your situation, and also the I didn't catch the name of the first individual you talked about. Was it another person?
Yeah, my son Daniel.
Daniel. Yes. Okay, Daniel.
Gaming, yeah, and I'm just asking that the Lord would make him free. And I don't know what to do. He lives with me, and I talk to him. I ask him. I tell him. And I honestly don't know what to do. So my hope is for the Lord.
Keep praying with him and keep sharing the truth of God's word with him, because the word of God does not come back void. It's living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I think it's important for us as parents and even just in our witnessing that we always share the word of God with people, because it's very much supernaturally alive, and it penetrates the human soul, heart, and mind. And sometimes we avoid sharing the scriptures directly to people. But when Jesus fought against the devil, he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And he showed us the power of the word of God as we fight against the lies, the deceptions of the enemy and of this world and of our flesh. So keep sharing the word of God with him. And hopefully soon, very soon, he'll get his life together with Christ, and he'll walk with the Lord and serve the Lord and honor the Lord. And but Mike, you want to pray for Victor and his son, Daniel?
Yes. Father, we just lift up Victor to you, that you would touch him and that you would just help him. We all need from you, God, every one of us listening. And I just pray that you, who supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, you will do that very thing. And Lord, we pray for, just this situation. And Lord, you know what is needed to be done in both these individuals' lives. And so we give it to you, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would touch them, heal them, God. Bring about your very best for their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, I hope that answers it for you.
Thank you, brother.
And you know that if you need anything else, we're here for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. God bless you, brothers. And for me being Ukrainian, all the war I read from the other side, you know, that war is not against, that war pretty much kills all the Christians, all people who know the truth. And right now, throughout the war, somebody is pushing Ukrainian government to get the laws about legalizing marijuana, legalizing porn. And like, you serious throughout the war? And those voices are from the West. Somebody is pushing, like, and they're playing games.
Yep.
Like,
I believe that's 100% true. I think there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about. And Paul will be praying for that, and praying for you, that you become that kind of that rock in that circle of friends, that you'll be able to give them what God's word says. Stay in line. Send you out a couple more books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll like. And with that, we'll go to Tyrone in Eureka, California. Hi, welcome. Hi, are you there, Tyrone?
I am here.
How may we help?
I just had a question for every man and answer.
Okay, what is it?
I think most people naturally are doubters, and I'm just trying to find out. I feel like I'm doubting Thomas all the time. I've seen real deal miracles. I've seen God move, but I always have this sense of doubt, and I'm just trying to overcome that.
Is this plugged in?
Okay, yeah. Daryl, your thoughts.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Tyrone, for me, please?
I feel like I doubt all the time. Like, I've had God answer my prayers quite a few times, and I always just seem to have this, like, negative doubting spirit in me all the time.
Well, I think that's something that, you know, the Bible says put on the mind of Christ and take all your thoughts captive. I think it's a walk of faith that we have. I know it's a walk of faith. And what we have to do is just, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God says it, I believe it, and I will follow it. That brings you confidence. Sometimes there's fear in our lives. The Bible says where there's fear, there's torment. But perfect love casts out all fear. I've found that whenever I have doubts or I have go through tough circumstances, I go right back to the basics. I look right to the cross. At the cross, I find the love of God for me and for you. I find that Jesus forgives us. Jesus is there for us. Jesus has a plan for us. I think a lot of times we have to dive into the book of Acts and watch how the Holy Spirit spoke to the people in the book of Acts as they began to live for the Lord. Jesus said, I will give you power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That power is called the dunamis power in the Greek language, and it speaks of the ability to do. In other words, whatever God wants us to do, he will give us the ability to do because his Holy Spirit is working in us and through us for the glory of Christ. So it's important for us to have that confidence that we have in the word of God. And, you know, as well as just the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy, and Timothy said, Timothy, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did he say that? Because obviously Timothy was having some weak moments. We all have weak moments. There's no doubt about it. But we don't stay in those weak moments. We climb out of that weak moment. We walk with the Lord. Let him pull us out of that hole of weakness or lack of faith or doubting. And we move forward. But don't get hung up with it, my friend. When we look at what's going on in our lives and how we might be struggling, we realize God is with us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to take care of us. And just keep diving into the word of God because that's where your strength is going to come. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you'll strengthen your faith as you get into the word, you go to church, you hear Bible studies, listen to Christian radio and so forth. And just keep feeding yourself. The more you feed yourself, then you exercise your faith, the stronger you get. And you'll be a great, mighty weapon in the hands of God. And we all go through doubts, though. I've gone through many doubts, many fears, many anxieties, if you will. But the Bible says as we pray, as we seek the Lord, we give thanks unto him, he will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'd encourage you to read Philippians, a very encouraging book. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. One of the passages in there. Read Philippians, a book of joy. It's a book of faith. It's a book of happiness. And also Thessalonians is another book. The Thessalonica church was a very faithful church with a lot of great compliments and so forth. So just a word of encouragement, my friend. Mike, I'll give it over to you.
Amen. And, you know, we'll be praying for you because, again, you know, it's really important. Those that are close to God see the miracles. When you are stretched out and you don't see any way, you know, I look all the way through the Bible. It wasn't that God was just doing miracles for people that didn't really need one, just kind of magic tricks. But no, this is where, you know, they were facing, as such as in the case with Peter, where he was going to maybe very likely be crucified the next day. He was in prison. And we remember they were praying for him and an angel come and let him out of the prison. But the reason why he had that was because of his service to God and the dire need for a miracle. Most of us don't live close enough to the edge to need a miracle because we knew it ourselves. But I think it's when we are really employed in the call of God that this is where just shall live by faith. And that's where I believe the power and the miracles of God are. Not to rely on what God has done in the past, but what is God wanting to do right now? And how are you going to deliver me from this hour of temptation, this hour of trial? God did all the way through the Bible. We look at the life of Paul, we clearly see it. Hope that helps.
It does. I really appreciate you both. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Great to share with your friends. And with that, we'll go to April in Sacramento. Hi and welcome.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Great.
Good. I called yesterday because I had a question regarding, I was starting to read a book called Lilith, and I wanted to know why the Bible didn't mention Lilith as being Adam's first wife. But basically what happened was that my spirit had got convicted. And so I stopped reading the Bible. I stopped reading the book and I just turned towards the Bible, you know, for my answers. But this one specifically, this one specifically, it doesn't mention anything about Lilith in the Bible. So I just wanted clarity on that.
Yeah, it's pure junk. Throw it away, burn it. It's not worth the ink. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. That is all made up. The Bible clearly says that Eve was the mother of all living. That's what her name means. And so because of that, there was no Lilith ever. That was all made up. And again, just more distortions that are out there floating around to take people's eyes off the Word of God. And we see all these different books like this, whether it's the Book of Enoch, whether we see the Gospel of Judas or whatever. Junk then, junk now. That's why these books were not canonized. And that's why these new ideas of Lilith and all this other stuff are completely bogus. Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's so vitally important for all believers is this, is that we stay in the Word of God. There's so many books written out there with all kinds of crazy ideas and thoughts. And then people say, it's a hidden book and it's been secretly kept from you and so forth. No, we have the full canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Just stay in the Bible. We don't need any other book, my friends. Just stay in the Bible. Jesus quoted the book of Genesis so many times, along with the apostles, along with the other books of the Bible. All the Old Testament books that we have today were all quoted by the apostles and Jesus, except for one. That's the book of Esther. It's the book of history. And so it's very important for us to realize these things. And Satan will always want to distract you and dissuade you from staying in the truth. That's why we're told so many times throughout the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, about the deceivers that will come, the false prophets that will come, the false teachers that will come. All of 2 Peter is dedicated to false teachers and so forth, that they're going to be coming and they're going to come after you. Jesus says, be careful that no one deceives you in the last days. There's going to be great deception. And so we have to stay strong and just stay in the Word of God. If I can just say that to everybody, stay in the Bible and spend most of your time in the Bible. There's other books that are written that are interesting. I call them interesting books, but you know what? The Bible is my foundation. It's your foundation. So let's stay strong in that. Mike?
Absolutely. April, I'm glad the Lord convicted you of that and, again, protected you from just a bunch of hogwash. And so you just have to be careful and stay away from it. Hope that helps.
Yeah, that helps. Thank you so much for clarifying.
Yeah, it's like reading Mad Magazine. This stuff is all made up. So stay away from it. I'm always amazed that people will try to, pull one over on everybody like this. And it's always a little grievous to pastors because, Paul writing to Timothy, a young minister, he said, when you teach, teach the word. Well, what else would you teach? A lot of junk. And there's a lot of junk out there. April, stick with God's word. You're not going to go wrong. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, couple of DVDs, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, you guys.
God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Jim, Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, welcome.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Okay, so I've had a couple conversations with a couple of friends that really know the Bible and my manager at work, and they're in favor of the Calvinism, and they were telling me that, the people that are saved are predestined to be saved, and the ones that aren't, it doesn't matter what you do. I was on the fence with that. I'm like, I was kind of depressed about it because if that's the case, well, you don't need to do anything to be saved. You don't have to do anything. I mean, it's just right there. But I was like, I told him, I'm like, well, that's not what John 3:16 says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, which means anybody. And, but they still stand on the case that, certain people are just going to be saved and certain aren't.
Well, see, that's really terrible, isn't that? So John 3:16, they need to get rid of that verse. Just mark it out of your Bible because it does not fit true Calvinism. It just doesn't. For God so loved the world. It does not say the predestinated ones. And and the predestinated ones who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say that. So in effect, they're adding to God's word and they're nullifying what the word of God says. That's pretty scary stuff. Now, remember, what about the Bible where it talks about predestination? That is always from God's perspective. Now, does God know who ultimately makes it and who doesn't? Yes, the Bible tells us that. The Bible says that he sees us seated with him in heavenly places. I understand that. But just because God knows the future doesn't stop any individual right now determining where they want to spend eternity. And the idea that God deliberately put people on hell, on earth, just to send them to hell, that's not what the Bible says. The Great Commission Jesus gave then is a lie. Oh my gosh. Calvinism, please listen if you're into Calvinism. Go preach the gospel to the predestinated ones. Doesn't say that, does it? It says preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. Well, now that's interesting, isn't it? Well, you know, by having predestination, we don't even have to give altar calls in our church. We don't even have to evangelize because, well, if you're going to figure it out, you're going to figure it out. And if you don't, yeah, too bad about you. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come, the Bible says. If you go to Revelation chapter 22, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It doesn't say the Spirit and the bride say to the predestinated ones, come. No. Whosoever will may come. So you really have to start chopping the Bible up to embrace that kind of theology. And what an embarrassment it is to go out and share the gospel with people and they come up with something like that. You know, Daryl, I want your intake on this because, again, I think it's really important because, again, it knocks the wheels off evangelism. Because if you're going to figure it out, you're going to figure it out. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We'll have a whole lot more right after this.
You know, you're really not stuck, really. People think when it comes to paying for health care, they just have to kind of go along with the way it is, no matter how frustrated they are with it. But it's not true. MediShare has been a huge help to people for 30 years now. And more these days, especially, people are realizing what a great alternative it is. And the difference isn't just the savings, which are huge. It's the whole thing. You're a part of something good. It's a community of people who care for and pray for and encourage each other. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. You're actually sharing. And yeah, back to the savings, often up to $500 a month with MediShare. The customer service is refreshing too because they're for you. It's just a different way. And even though you might feel stuck with the frustrating status quo, it's not so. You can call them now and start saving and feeling better about how you're doing it too. Here's the number. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. And Daryl, you know, there's so many things going on again in the world and, you know, people wanting to know all these different things. Calvinism has crept into the church, knocking the wheels off the bus for general evangelism. Again, I've seen Calvinistic ideas that have permeated the church in so much that the church doesn't even give altar calls or anything like that. If you're going to figure it out, you're going to figure it out. Your take on this.
Well, you know, Mike, we have the frozen chosen there with us. And so, which is those that are strict Calvinists. But when you read the book of Acts, let's just go there. And we see these wonderful men of God, powerful men of God, if you will, are martyred for their faith. Why? Why would you get martyred for your faith if there's a certain element of people that are absolutely chosen and predestined for salvation?
Why no big deal.
Yeah. Why would you even risk your life? Why even go out and preach the gospel? Why does Jesus say what you just said? You know, go forth and preach to every creature of the world. Why were we filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel? Why is Peter preaching the gospel? Why is Paul preaching the gospel? It's senseless. It's basically stupid, the predestination doctrine. And it's a false doctrine, and it needs to be eliminated. And it gives people a nice excuse not to evangelize. Because you know what? It takes work to evangelize. It takes labor, and it takes risk to evangelize. But it puts them in a nice little cocoon of safety. I don't have to evangelize because everybody's predestinated. No, they're not. Everybody has the opportunity to come to Christ. They have a free will. Everybody in the whole world. I don't know who's going to come to Christ. Only God knows. As you said about the predestination that we read in the Bible, it's from God's perspective. It's after the fact. He knows all things. But for us, we don't know all things. We're to preach the gospel no matter what. We're to share the gospel. Why did Christ die on the cross if people are predestinated? What's the use? He died on the cross to save us. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the work of the apostles. I tell you, Mike, I get fired up over this because, you know, it's such a false teaching, and it just squashes all evangelism across the world. Why even send out missionaries? There's no need for a missionary. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. So anyway, it's very important for us not to follow Calvinism. We follow the Word of God, what it says, that we're endowed with power from on high. We preach the gospel to every creature of the world. We go to every nation of the world to preach the gospel, and that's what we're called to do, Mike.
Yeah, and just like you said, rescuing your lives, for what? If they're going to figure it out, they're going to figure it out. So why risk my life to bring the gospel to a country or a group of people that are hostile to the gospel? It logically does not follow any protocol in the Bible. Again, when you do come across the word predestinated in the Bible, that is always from God's perspective. But for our perspective, we preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus died for the whole world, and whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jim, I hope that helps.
Absolutely. I'm motivated now. That's yeah, because I was like, well, you know, if everybody's already chosen, if it's a done deal, why would you even have to go to church or do anything? And I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. So
you don't even need the Bible. Why do you even have any of the Gospels? Why do you? I mean, other than you know, it makes no sense. Why do we have the Book of Corinthians and Ephesians and all these books to encourage us? Because if you're going to figure it out, you're going to figure it out. It makes no sense whatsoever. And again, I'm really amazed how many people buy into this. And notice something else, everybody, about this. I'm a Christian. I follow the teachings of Christ. Daryl, you're a Christian. You follow the teaching. You're not a Calvary Chapelite. I'm not a Nazarite because I go to the Nazarene church or some other fellowship. No, I'm a Christian, but they're not. They're Calvinists because they're following the teachings of Calvin, not Jesus. I'm sorry. If you are really a Christian, you would still be identifying not as a Calvinist, but as a Christian. So by the very name, it implies something is askew. Something to consider. Jim, I hope that helps.
Thank you very much. It helps a lot. Appreciate it.
Stay online if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs, and you can get those into your friends' hands. I think they'll enjoy it. Jim, we're here for you. If you need us, give us a call back. And with that, we'll go to, who are we going to go back to? We'll go to, I'm looking here, we're going to go to Nora in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hello, pastors. How are y'all?
Good. How can we help?
Yes, my question is relatively basic. I listen to a lot of music and watch a lot of movies, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of that in my spare time. However, a lot of music and movies say the Lord's name in vain, and I feel very guilty listening to it and entertaining it. Is there a problem with us? Because literally I'm blocking certain things that I used to listen to a lot when I was younger or watch because they're saying the Lord's name in vain. And I feel like I shouldn't be doing that, watching this stuff or listening to this stuff because I revere the Lord so much. So I'm just wondering if.
Yeah, the Bible talks about making a covenant with your eyes that I'll put no ungodly thing before my eyes. I think that's true. Do you know the computer was designed basically the way you think and the way you are? And here's the problem. Garbage in, garbage out. You put profanity, you put things that are not pleasing to God into your mind. Your mind retains these things, and then, unfortunately, it plays it back at different times and even affects our morals, even affects the way we think about life, think about sin. Well, it isn't all that bad. I mean, after all, the last 9 movies I watched says that this is okay. And we don't realize what it does to us. And I think this is the great problem with sin, is that we really don't know what sin does to us on the long term. This is why people get into drugs. Well, yeah, I got loaded a couple times. No harm, no foul. I can stop whenever I want to. Until you realize you can't. And you realize now, instead of you going to it for recreational drugs, I always thought that was funny on a doctor's form. Do you use recreational drugs? Like, oh, man, like, I'm going to get in my Winnebago. No, there's no such thing as recreational drugs. It's sin. Be not drunk with wine with excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But if you watch it enough, it will change the ideas or the morale in the individual. That's what it's designed to do by the devil. So I would just really admonish everyone, be careful what you watch and especially what you let your children watch. When you see death, destruction, police cars blowing up every 3 minutes on a movie or whatever, all of a sudden it changes the way you look at police. It's the way you look at life. I mean, if after all, somebody I don't like, I just get a gun and blow them away. I think Hollywood has done more destruction to America. You know, we always hear about taking guns away from, or the illicit use of guns. Hollywood is what's been teaching America the illicit use of guns ever since they've been in existence, I think. Look at that. I mean, it's incredible. It changes the way we view life. It's the changes the way we value life. If I don't like somebody, I just shoot them. See, that's what we learn. So, we have to be taught what morality is. We have to be taught to love our neighbor as ourself. When we fill our minds with stuff that is just exactly opposite that and profaning the name of our God, first of all, I don't want to have anything to do with it, no matter what story or what venue they're trying to communicate to me through this movie. I don't want to know. I don't have time to fill my brain with stuff that isn't of God. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, we have to be careful. We're not going to become the frog in the kettle, so to speak. We're slowly just boiling. The frog gets just gets comfortable in that boiling water and doesn't jump out, and pretty soon it's cooked to death. I think that's the way the world is with us. We have to be careful. We are not being cooked in this world. And also we become a Christian. We live the Christian life. And then all of a sudden we start returning back to the ways of the world. Like Peter says, we become that dog that returns to its vomit, or the pig back to the mire. Now, we can't live in a cocoon. We do live in this world, and we have opportunity to share with this world. But we also don't want to corrupt our minds with this world's garbage and junk and all the things that's out there, the perversions and so forth. You know, pretty soon you're watching The Simpsons every day. You think like The Simpsons. You speak like The Simpsons. You act like The Simpsons. You don't want to be that, my friends. You want to be like Jesus. Amen. So just stay strong. Keep yourself guarded. And everybody has their own liberties. But be careful, my friends, and walk in the ways of the Lord. God will bless. Mike?
I hope that helps, Nora.
Yes, thank you very much. I feel so guilty when they say his name in vain, and I think I've been in several movie theaters where they say it, and I've never seen the movie before, and I'm shrieking, and I don't realize I'm doing it because they said his name, you know. So I'm like, please don't do that. So I'm just gonna knock it out like I've been doing. I think I'm on the right path of just kind of avoiding that kind of stuff because I respect him too much, you know.
Well, and whatever you give up for God in that way as an example, God will bless you for. God sees it all, man. And a lot of people say, well, God doesn't see. God sees. And you know, when I make a stand to not support profanity, when I make a stand to not promote or provide funding for and watching movies, going to movie houses, things that the Bible clearly says are wrong. I want to back myself away from that because I'm not of the world. I don't want to be supporting what they're doing. I don't like the message of Hollywood. Years ago, in our church, you know, I there was a time there I designed the covers on our church bulletin. Yeah, a lot of churches don't do that anymore. It's all online. That's okay. But I had a picture of Hollywood, and it said Hollywood, you know, where and with the searchlights going up by Hollywood, the Hollywood Hills there where the sign is. And above it, I put, they lied to us. And they continue to do so to this day. Hope that helps, Nora. Stay on line. Send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Great to share with your friends. And if you got anything else, you know, come across like that, please call us, okay?
Sure will. Thank y'all guys so much. I appreciate it. Bless y'all.
Nora, blessings to you. Let's go to Gilbert, San Antonio, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your time. I have a kind of a two-part question that go hand in hand. I see a lot of, I know there's a lot of junk out there on social media, but I there's a lot of stuff that I see that has a lot of biblical accuracy as far as verses, but the difference between willful sin, like if you're just sinning and, you know, we know that we're not to trample over the blood of Christ. The difference between that and, like, I guess lifelong struggle, sin, willful sin and struggling with sin, having not worldly remorse, but like really trying to overcome something, a struggle between deciphering if you're really saved or not saved. And then the other part, it comes from this second part question is from, I've seen Ray Comfort on Living Waters, and I see how and I'm from a Catholic background. I see how he presents the gospel beautifully, but he doesn't, I was always taught, you know, the sinner's prayer. I know the sinner's prayer, the words don't save you. Only Jesus saves us. But
right. That's right. But it's an introduction to who Christ is. And I think something, Gilbert, that, you know, we have to always look at when we're, you know, when we're dealing with things like this is that God, knowing our frame, there's a difference between sin and willful disobedience. Now, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for instance, Paul says to the church, not to a bar or a brothel or something else. He says to the church, people that have these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as you look at that, you might look through that list and say, oh, I did that one this week, right? But is it a lifestyle or is it an oopsie? And I think there's a big difference. And it's when, well, you know, I'm going to shack up with my girlfriend. Yeah, I know the Bible says I'm not supposed to do it, but that's just my little sin and I got to deal with God. No, you don't. You're in real trouble, and if the rapture comes, don't expect to go. Yes, I am serious. The Bible says, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord is going to come. So there's a difference between, oh, I'm struggling with this sin, God help me, 70 times 7, all that comes into play. And then there's another aspect, well, I like this sin. I really don't want to repent from it. God's just going to have to live with it. Because I like where I'm at. I think you're in a lot of trouble. And I would not expect to go in the rapture with that kind of posture. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the prodigal son story comes to be very familiar with us. As He left the Father. He went his way into the world. He lived in the world. He practiced the ways of the world. But fortunately, he came to his senses and he repented and returned to the Father. Father never went anywhere. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but he won't force you to stay with him. If you want to walk away from him and do your own thing and live your own life and engage yourself in civil activities and so forth and that lifestyle and without repentance, then as Mike just shared, you're in danger. But if you repent like the prodigal son, you return home, then you're in the grace of God, the mercies of God, and the goodness of God. He's always there for us. So it's very important for us to realize that as a born-again believer, we're to be sanctified by the word of God through the Holy Spirit. That means we're not perfect, but we're being changed day by day by day. When we sin, we get convicted of our sins. We want to turn from our sins. If we fall again, well, we keep turning. We keep turning. But we're not going to stay in that pigsty of sin. It's very important that we realize this and that we walk in the ways of the Lord. And you know what? When are you the happiest? When are you the most blessed? When you're walking in the ways of the Lord. But when you're playing games with the world, with your flesh, with the devil himself, you're a mess. You're depressed. You're distressed. You're full of anxiety. You're trying to cover your tracks. It's just a frustrating life. So if anything, folks, let's just walk in the ways of the Lord, trust the Lord, let him use our lives and be a blessed people. Mike?
Amen. Hope that answers it for you, Gilbert, because again, this side of heaven, we're going to sin. I don't want to, but we do. Sometimes it's an attitude. Sometimes it's a thought we entertain too long. Sometimes it's actual action that we'll do. But I believe, again, this is why it says in 1 John chapter 1, but if we sin, my little children, he says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that said, well, I've become a Christian, but I'm afraid I'm going to sin after I'm a Christian. Let me tell you, you will. But God made provision for that. Now, again, be careful of lifestyles and be careful of, well, I don't care what God says. I like my sin and I'm going to keep doing it. There's a big difference between that and going, God, I'm sorry I sinned. Now, I believe if you're really a born-again Christian, I believe the Holy Spirit's conviction is there. If you can be in hardcore sin and not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you might not be saved. You may have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You may have a knowledge of God. The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. But that doesn't mean that you're right with God. And I think that's a really important part to understand. Hope that helps, Gilbert.
It does, Pastor. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. I'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. I think you might really enjoy it, as well as a couple other things that will really boost your faith. Great to share with your friends. Let's go to Richard, Troy, Michigan. Hi and welcome.
I'm in Las Vegas. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard. It says Troy, Michigan here, so I don't know why, but my call screeners like to pull funsies on me every once in a while. That's okay. But how can we help?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I was the right guy you're calling on. Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for all you guys do. I really appreciate it. Yeah, in the Bible, it talks about where, like, the angels slaughtered. I think it was like 185,000. I mean, just one angel and bam, they're out of there. But then in Daniel, where they talk about, he's having he's detained with the Prince of Persia, which I know the evil one, and, I have to tell him that they had to call on Michael for help, because it took him 21 days. And I'm just wondering, I know on our side and on God's side, it's all powerful, and it's the winning team, And so, but, when you hear these things with angels, just, 185,000, the angels of God. But then you hear it took him 21 days and had to get a reinforcement with Michael. It's kind of like, how did that work? You know?
Well, the Bible says a third of the host of heaven fell with Lucifer. And whatever this war in heaven was over initially, not the final one where they're kicked out forever, but right now where they have lost their position, because we know that they still, that actually doesn't come until we get to Revelation, I believe, chapter 12. The war in heaven where Satan is kicked out and his demons fought and against the angels and everything. But we know that there are different levels of angelical principality. There are different levels of power. We know that there are seraphim, cherubim, messenger angels, protective angels. We know that there's these warrior angels. We know all this stuff is there. Now, again, I believe it depending on what angel or principality we're dealing with. Now, this thing about Michael with the Prince of Persia, I don't think he was duking it out with some human being with a crown. I believe he was in fighting over the spirit behind this king. And I believe, as the Bible says, that God raises up and puts down kings according to his will. And oftentimes people get the government that they deserve. You know, if you want to be lawless, if you want to be full of hatred and stuff, then you get that kind of a government that'll keep people in line. Government, according to the Bible, was structured to keep people in line. But if people want to listen to the lies of the devil, and you find all this wickedness come in, and you find these demons working wholesale about everything the Bible says that God will destroy a nation over. You know, read Romans. If you want to know, a lot of people need to understand this. You know, why are Christians so narrow-minded? We're not. We're telling you what God says and how he's going to judge the world someday. Where does God stand on the LGBTQ community? I think that's a good, fair question. Read Romans chapter 1. This is in the New Testament after Jesus died on the cross, ascended to heaven, and the churches were functioning. This isn't the Old Testament, such as oftentimes they'll cite, well, that was Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was Old Testament. No. Read the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. And that will tell us where God stands. But there's demonic forces, I believe, in the world. Some are mighty and ultra powerful. We've got angels chained in the bottom of the Euphrates River somewhere, awaiting to be released during the tribulation period. These angels are so fierce that they are chained, awaiting when they can go out and do what they want to do to human beings. Again, I believe that Satan didn't mind that God was going to make human beings a little lower than the angels. The Bible says that. But then those that believe in Christ, the Bible says he will elevate above the angels. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, do you not know someday you will judge angels? I don't think that's dealt well with Lucifer. And evidently, it didn't set well with about a third of the hosts of heaven as well, that there was going to be another creation above them. Can't say for sure, but when we look at all the verses that pertain to the rebellion of Lucifer and the coalition that went with Lucifer when he left heaven, it says he was perfect in all of his ways, Isaiah 14, till pride entered his heart. I will ascend and I will be as the Most High God, he said. Well, why would you do that? What did God do that would trip his switch? And what would appeal to the pride of an individual? Someone's better, greater than you. Well, he always knew Jesus was. He always knew God the Father was, the Holy Spirit was. But now there's going to be another group, another creation that God will actually call the bride of Christ? I don't think that's so. Well, your thoughts.
You know, Paul gives us insight in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we recognize, as Mike said, there's different rankings of angels. That is fallen angels as well as God's holy angels. And when they have to do warfare against each other, it's a mighty battle. Now, the book of Revelation says that the third of the angels are going to be cast down to the earth along with Satan. So there'll be a great battle in the heavens. So we see these things taking place, as well as when God sent his angel to destroy the 185,000, those were the Assyrians who were trying to invade Judah. As Judah had repented before the Lord, and God says, I will send my mighty angel to destroy these men, these warriors, and I will kill them. Now, Jesus himself said he called out angels to destroy everyone on the planet if he wanted, but he doesn't want to. He wants to save us because he loves us. He cherishes each and every one of us. He wants us to come to this great and glorious salvation. This is the love of God for all mankind. Mike?
Amen. And that's what it really is, Richard. Does that answer your question for you?
Well, yeah, and you know, I I so get that. You know, when you talked about the Euphrates River and the demonic that's here with us, you know, I honestly believe we're in that time. We're that generation. And, you know, I honestly believe this whole thing with the alien thing, I believe it's demonic, 100% demonic. I don't think there is aliens. So, yeah, I get it. Thank you so much for answering that.
Richard, stay in line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. And again, I tell everybody, let your light shine. We're all out of time, everyone. I just want to say, if you didn't get on, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Daryl, for being on. Always
Thank
appreciate
you.
Thanks for being on CSN as well in the morning time. Until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you and good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.